You know, I may say that I'm healthy. And there are tests that I could use to prove whether that is true or not. I might not be as healthy as I think I am. And I can find out by testing. I might say that I can sing. But that self-delusion, I guess I could call it, would fail the approval of this audience or any other. I say that I am a Christian. Now, what does that mean? Others might simply take that statement from me as a way of classifying me in among a myriad other religions. Personally, I believe that being a Christian is a way of life, of living. And from God's perspective, the Father of Jesus Christ will take my statement and test it against the example of His Son. That brings me to an admonition in God's Word. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves. It's not saying here, have a ministerial visiting team come in and do that. It says here, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. You mean we can test ourselves to know whether we're a Christian or not? Well, it has to do with our behavior, brethren. And it continues in 2 Corinthians 13. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are not passing the test, as the margin would have that. We have repented. We have been baptized. And through the laying on of the hands of the ministry, we have received God's gift of His Holy Spirit. We assemble on the Sabbath. We attend services. At least most of us are able to attend services, but even doing it as we are now, if you're remote and viewing us over the internet, that is fulfilling what God requires, that time has been set aside by God, and we're observing that time which has been hallowed by Him and appear before Him. And we attend God's annual holy days. We do all those things. But there's more. When it comes to testing ourselves, there is more to it. Just fulfilling those things that are required. Remember what Jesus said. He said, when you've done all that is required, say, I'm an unprofitable servant. Well, this more is the challenging part of what I'm talking about today. We have a saying that crops up on occasion, and I think some of the presidential campaigners at this point, self-appointed individuals who have been running for president of the United States this year, have found this reality because they didn't get enough votes. And I heard one of them say, let's face it, and then they continued to make other statements. But that way of saying things, face it, is something that we need to do as Christians. It's a matter of getting down to the reality of a particular situation, and that situation has to do with how we're doing as a Christian. And we have to do that on a regular basis, brethren, because we live as Christians. It is a way of life, and we can't take anything for granted. And one of the areas that I want to just bore in now in terms of facing it, and that's the title of my sermonette, Face It. One of the things that we can test ourselves by is this question: am I a submissive Christian? Well, here's the answer. And before I go there, I want to kind of insert something I was thinking about way over in the services. Let's go to Romans 8. I think this is kind of important in the context that I'm talking about today. Let's pick it up in Romans 8 and verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How does that mix fall in our lives, we might ask ourselves? Are we spiritually or carnally minded? For to be carnally minded, in verse 6, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind, that is the way we were born, the way we are as human beings before our calling and those things that go along with it, because the carnal mind is enmity, that is hatred against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So when I say, am I submissive to God as a test question, something we should face is how much of that backlog of our carnal living sometimes spills over and creeps into our lives today. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed even can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, cannot be submissive, I might add, to God. But you brethren, those of you that I'm talking to, just like Paul was writing to the Romans, excuse me, they were not in the flesh any longer, they were in the Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, as he says here, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, are synonymous fashion mentioned here in this ninth verse, meaning that they are the same Spirit. We are infused with the very personality of Jesus Christ if he lives in us, to have his strength and help. Well, I wanted to go back now to my answer. In Matthew 7, verse 21, my answer to the question I ask is, am I submissive to God? Am I a submissive Christian? Matthew 7 and verse 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Let's also, for a parallel scripture, go to Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. Luke 6 and verse 46. Christ, again, a very similar thing he's saying here. He says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. That's an analogy we should use when we face these false apostles, these false ministers, these false doctrines that have wound their way into these past decades of the Church of God in its history. Verse 49, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth. He didn't face it. He heard, he didn't heed, and he built it on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Okay, now ask yourself. Here's the challenging part about examining and testing yourself. Ask yourself, do I take correction? Or do the sermons that we hear find the perfect dwelling place in somebody else's head? We can easily think of someone who this a particular admonition might apply, but apply it to ourselves always, first and foremost. And by your example of change and obedience, that's how you win other people. You don't try to fix them, you fix yourself. A second question. Do I change when necessary? Well, I guess we could say it's never been necessary for me to change, right? There's so much. And the beauty of being a Christian is that we continually have the opportunity to grow and to change, which I'll come to as a third point here. But let me also ask, is it, when it comes to change, is it actually easier just to ignore what I truly know I should be doing? Well, great sermon, Mr. Pastor or Minister. What are you going to give us next week? Well, wait a minute. We've got a whole week to work on what we just learned, right? Don't ignore it. This is the time. And especially this is the time because of the season we're in coming up to Passover. And a third and final self-testing question. Am I growing? Overcoming as a Christian? Remember I said, to me, being a Christian is a way of life, and I certainly could back that up with scriptures throughout the book of Acts. It's called a way, the way. Am I growing, or have I just decided to maintain my status quo? Bury the talent. Know the truth. Do nothing with it. Either in our own lives individually or in the work that we've been called to share in and to accomplish with the empowerment of God Himself in Jesus Christ. Every successful servant of God has been challenged with trials. And so I guess we can say if that's a test, then surely we are servants of God, right? We've had trials. Tests, which sometimes might seem overwhelming, but in the end, God will help us pass them. He has for individuals in the history, and that's what this book is about, an example for us to follow and to take encouragement from. They were successful, and that happened because they were willing to take an important step in the process. It was what we must do in our own testing, and that is to turn to God.